Hey, that was a pretty cool meal downstairs, huh? Did you eat something maybe a little unusual that you've never had before? Yeah? What did you eat that you either liked or didn't like, Sawyer?
Bitter herbs.
They're a little bitter? Okay. And Abigail, did you eat anything that you either liked or didn't like that was new? Very good. Excellent. Casey, how about you? You love the lamb. So you love the lamb, like the lamb, bitter herbs, not so much, eh? Okay. That's great. We had a really nice meal downstairs, and it went wonderfully. We had fun. We weren't making fun, and there's a big difference between the two. The Seder meal is a Jewish festival. It is a celebration that has been in place for a long, long time. And it was put in order probably shortly after the temple was destroyed. But the Passover celebration had been put in place since the time of the Exodus. God pulled his people out of the bondage of slavery, and he said, get together yearly for the feast, the Passover feast, and remember what happened. And that's what the people did. They would gather together in their home. It was a very communal event. They wanted the whole family to come in. And we talked about this during our communion classes, huh? They got together, and God said, if there's a family and they don't have a lamb, or there's not enough people to eat a whole lamb, bring them in. It was a very communal group meal. Take that lamb, and I don't want just any lamb, I want a perfect lamb. It's got to be absolutely blemish-free. No spots, no imperfections. I don't want your gimpy-legged lambs. I don't want your spotted lambs. I want that perfect lamb that, as anyone who has raised any kind of livestock, which, you know, maybe 100 years ago, that could have been all of you. Today, not so much. The perfect lamb was meant for breeding. The perfect lamb kept that the genes of the flock strong and able to reproduce and lively. So to give up the perfect lamb was a huge sacrifice for a family. And they would get together and they would have wine and bread. They did this to remember a couple things. One was the blood that had saved them. The wine was used and was drank, and we drank a lot of sparkling grape juice. Come on, it wasn't wine. We drank a lot of sparkling grape juice down there during a typical Seder or Passover feast. They would drink a lot of wine, and they would recall the suffering of when they were in captivity. They were held bondage to sin. They could not free themselves. The bitter herbs that Sawyer so much loved, by the way, there's leftovers. You can take them. The bitter herbs remind them of how tough it is to be enslaved. We live in America. How many of you have been enslaved? Not so many. Slavery is horrible. You do what you're told, even if you don't like it. So they were in slavery, and they were beaten when they didn't do what they were told. And they worked long hours. They toiled. The typical feast would... they would eat the bread. The bread which reminded them of the bricks and the mortar and everything that they had to build those different places out of. So there was a lot of toil involved. It was not a good time. And then they would have these cups in order. Again, this is a Passover meal. They'd have one cup and then the next cup. And then the third cup would be a very special cup, a cup that was a cup of redemption, a cup of blessing. Salvation. God saved them. It's important to know these things. Substitution. Take a perfect lamb, kill it, eat it, and use the blood to paint over and above your door. For when death comes and death sees that blood, death will pass over the household. Community. Celebrating with a not just the family, the extended family that lived with people at those times, but the next door neighbor. And they all did it together. Every family, boom, 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 on those houses had lambs going. And they were cooking the lambs and eating them. the threat of death if they didn't listen, and the protection of blood. You know, death had no power over the people who were in that house. You say, Pastor, why are we going over this? This is old stuff here. This was for the Jewish people. It is. The whole Bible points to Jesus Christ. From that time in the garden all the way through the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ is the focal point of the Holy Scriptures. So anyone that says, I only read the New Testament because the Old Testament isn't for me, you're missing out. You're missing out huge. The Old Testament points forward, the New Testament points back, and they both meet at the cross. The Lord's Supper, which we'll be celebrating here this evening, and three of our members will be receiving the sacrament at the altar for the first time. And yes, you even get to go first, which would be even cooler. When the cross came, things changed. You say, Pastor, why aren't we sacrificing lambs anymore? Don't need to. It's over. It's finished. Well, why don't we go to the central temple? We don't need to. It's done. The temple's been destroyed. It doesn't exist. Well, how about a high priest? Maybe we need a high priest that everyone has to come to and bring their animals for sacrifice. No, it's over. Everything changed with the cross. They were just to give us illustrations. They were to give us examples. They were roles so that when we saw the real thing, we would notice it. The Lord's Supper replaced Passover. I'd sit down and debate that with anyone who disagreed with me. Salvation is brought by God. We are plagued as sinners with being in bondage to sin. Martin Luther wrote about it. His book, Bondage of the Will, is all about how we are sinners and there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. So we need salvation. We need a perfect lamb to come along and give himself up. And it's only by the blood of that perfect lamb that we're going to be saved. Jesus Christ on the cross is that perfect lamb. We get together as often as we are able to and celebrate as a community, as this group here, as the church down the street, as those who've gone on before us in heaven. We gather around and receive the sacrament. So one thing that I impress in all the parishioners is when we receive Holy Communion, it's not just us. It's the church up the street. It's the church down the street. Whether you want to admit it or not, it's the Methodists and the Catholics and the Eastern Orthodox, and the Baptists. We're all celebrating what Jesus did. We might understand it differently, but when we get up to heaven, I guarantee you, every one of us will stand in front of them, and Jesus is going to say, you thought I said what? He died. He said, this is my body given for you. And that's what we're receiving tonight. He said, this is my blood that I shed for you. And that's what we're receiving tonight. And we're going to remember what he did, and we're going to remember where we're going to be with him in heaven. There is a threat of death over our heads. But you know what? That threat of death has no power over us as long as we have the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing. It is nothing to fear. You know, the Passover may have pointed forward. The Lord's Supper points back, and it points forward of things to come. I'm going to leave you with a quote from Martin Luther. This is in his Large Catechism. Some will say, how often should we receive the Lord's Supper? I'm telling you, it's important. It's like a battery charger. Luther wrote in his Large Catechism, if you could see the number of daggers and spears and arrows that at every moment of your life the devil has pointed at you, you would be glad to receive the sacrament as often as possible. The only reason we go about so securely and heedlessly is that we neither acknowledge nor believe that we are in the flesh, in this wicked world, under the kingdom of the devil. In other words, if we knew the spiritual powers that were against us, we would want to come and say, Lord Jesus, give me that communion as often as we could receive it. But don't ever worry about those, because the power of Jesus Christ and his blood protects us from anything that the devil could ever possibly want to do to us. It is through him we live. It is through baptism that we died to our old self, which we just had this past Sunday, and it is through Jesus Christ that we live. So I'm looking forward to this. This is a very special day. You will remember it for the rest of your life. And I just ask you that in times of trouble, when you, as you're growing up and you go away to college, as you find yourself, maybe life's events got you down, you remember that I am baptized and Jesus Christ is my Savior. Guarantee you there's nothing that will get you down in life. All right? Amen. In this Lenten season, we've heard again how the Lord walked the path of suffering, which led Him to the cross for our salvation. We've heard of the Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin, death, and the devil, all that keeps us from loving God and one another. This is the struggle to which we were committed at baptism. God's forgiveness and the power of His Spirit to amend our lives continue with us because of His love for us in Jesus our Savior. Within the family of the church, God never wearies of giving peace and new life. In the absolution, that's forgiveness, we should not doubt but firmly believe that our sins are thus forgiven before God in heaven, for it comes to us in the name and by the command of our Lord. We who receive God's love in Jesus Christ are called to love one another, to be servants to each other as Jesus became our servant. In Holy Communion, the members of Christ's body participate most intimately with His love. Remembering our Lord's Last Supper with His disciples, we eat the bread and we drink the cup of this meal. And together we receive the Lord's gift of His body and blood and participate in that new covenant which makes us one in Him and one another. The Lord's Supper is the promise of the great banquet we will share with all the faithful when our Lord returns, the joyous culmination of our reconciliation with God and each other. At this time, let us confess our sins to God and ask His forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Father, I confess to you that I have not loved you with all my heart. In what I have done and left undone, I have pursued my ways instead of your ways. I have not loved my brothers and sisters as myself. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. I am truly sorry for my sins. I repent of them. Beg for your mercy, O Lord. Let's take this time to reflect upon our sins. Seek His forgiveness at the cross. Heavenly Father, forgive us for the sake of Jesus Christ, who suffered and died for us. Cleanse me of my sins, release me from my guilt, grant me your Holy Spirit to amend my sinful life. Almighty God has been merciful to us and has sent His Son to die for us all. And for His sake, God forgives our sins and calls us from darkness into His marvelous light. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven us, and He's reconciled us to God and has promised us the power to forgive and love each other. Relying on His promise, therefore, I ask you, be reconciled to one another and extend to each other the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of our Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Stand up and shake someone's hand next to you. Just tell them, peace of Jesus be with you. Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in the sacrament of Holy Communion, you give us your true body and blood as a remembrance of your suffering and death on the cross. Grant us so firmly to believe your words and promise that we may always partake of this sacrament to our eternal good. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our hymn of the day is number 127. It happened on that fateful night. From envy, hatred, and malice, and from all lack of charity.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From all deadly sin, and from the deceits of the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From all false doctrine, heresy, and schism. From hardness of heart, and contempt for your word and your will. Good Lord, deliver us. From earthquake and tempest, from drought, fire, and flood, from civil strife and violence, from war and murder, and from dying suddenly and unprepared. Good Lord, deliver us. By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, and by your proclamation of the kingdom, good Lord, deliver us. By your bloody sweat and bitter grief, by your cross and suffering, and by your precious death and burial, good Lord, deliver us. By your mighty resurrection, by your glorious ascension, by the coming of the Holy Spirit, good Lord, deliver us. In our times of trouble, in our times of prosperity, in the hour of death and on the day of judgment, good Lord, deliver us. Receive our prayers, O Lord our God. Hear us, good Lord. Govern and direct your holy church. Fill it with love and truth, and grant it that unity which is according to your will.
Hear us, good Lord.
Enlighten all ministers with true knowledge and understanding of your word, that by their preaching and living, they may declare it clearly and show its truth.
Hear us, good Lord.
Encourage and prosper your servants who spread the gospel in all the world and send out laborers into the harvest.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bless and keep your people, that all may find and follow their true vocation and ministry.
Hear us, good Lord.
Give us hearts to love and revere you, that we may diligently live according to your commandments.
Hear us, good Lord.
To all your people, give grace to hear and receive your word, and to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit.
Hear us, good Lord.
Strengthen those who stand firm in the faith, encourage the faint-hearted, raise up those who fall, and finally, give us the victory.
Hear us, good Lord.
Rule the hearts of your servants, the President of the United States, and all others in authority, that they may do justice, love mercy, and walk in the ways of truth.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bless and defend all who strive for our safety and protection, and shield them in all dangers and adversities.
Hear us, good Lord.
Grant wisdom and insight to those who govern us, and to judges and magistrates, the grace to execute justice with mercy.
Hear us, good Lord.
To all nations grant unity, peace, and concord. And to all people give clothing, food, and shelter.
Hear us, good Lord.
Grant us abundant harvests, strength and skill to conserve the resources of the earth, and wisdom to use them well.
Hear us, good Lord.
Enlighten with your spirit all who teach and all who learn.
Hear us, good Lord.
Come to the help of all who are in danger, necessity, and trouble. Protect all who travel by land, air, and water, and show your pity on all prisoners and captives.
Hear us, good Lord.
Strengthen and preserve all women who are in childbirth, and all young children, and comfort the aged, the bereaved, and the lonely.
Hear us, good Lord.
Defend and provide for the widowed and the orphaned, the refugees and the homeless, the unemployed and all who are desolate and oppressed.
Hear us, good Lord.
Heal those who are sick in body or mind, and give skill and compassion to all who care for them.
Hear us, good Lord.
Grant us true repentance, forgive our sins, and strengthen us by your Holy Spirit to amend our lives according to your holy word.
Hear us, Lord.
Son of God, we ask you to hear us.
Son of God, we ask you to hear us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Grant us peace.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Would you rise to the Lord's Prayer? Our Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time, with one accord to make our common supplication to you. And you've promised through your beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, you will be with them. Fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth and in the ages to come, life everlasting.
Amen.
The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. At all times and in all places give you thanks. O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who brought the gift of salvation to all people by his death on the tree of the cross, so that the devil, who overcame us by a tree, would in turn by a tree be overcome. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Mercy on.
Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
This length, would you please be seated and just maintain reverence for the gospel reading? Jesus said, "As the Father's loved me, so I've loved you, and now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you'll remain in my love as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. For everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love one another. And now I'm going to him who sent me, and yet none of you asks, 'Where are you going?' Because I've said these things, you're filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I go away. And unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have so much more to say to you, more than you can bear, but when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will take what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more, and then in a little while you will see me." Some of the disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by this? In a little while you will see me no more, and then in a little while you'll see me." And when he says, "Because I'm going to the Father," they kept asking this. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said, "Are you asking one another what is meant when I said, 'In a little while you'll see me no more, and then in a little while you'll see me'? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into this world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take that joy away. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you've not asked for anything in my name, but ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and he prayed, "Father, my time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you've given him. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. I've brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world began. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me, and you have loved them even as you've loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be where I am, to see my glory, the glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. When Jesus had finished praying, he left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was an olive grove, and he and his disciples went into it. They went to a place called Gethsemane. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Lord, you are the God who saves me, and day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken me from my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. You show your wonders to the dead. Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness and destruction? Are your wonders known in the places of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of the oblivion? But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning my prayer comes to you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I've suffered and been close to death. I've borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They've completely engulfed me. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. Will you please sing continuously the hymn, Jesus, Remember Me, as we strip the altar.